So glad Jeff introduced Karen for you because I'm always a little leery that something might happen, like I heard some time ago about one pastor who had to be out the town one day, and so he had a guest preacher come in, and the preacher came in, and at the close of the service and everything, one of the ladies in the church saw this other lady visiting. And went up to her and said, "Oh, please, you need to come back next week when our preacher will come back. He's so much better." And the lady, the visitor, said, "Well, do you know who I am?" And the lady in the church said, "No." And the visiting lady said, "Well, I'm the guest preacher's wife." And then the lady in the church said, "Well, do you know who I am?" And the lady said, "No." And so she left. And so you know, afterwards, you know, this is Karen. So, I mean, she'd probably agree with you and everything, but that's the way it is. So I do want to read God's word this morning to you. And I'd like for us to stand as we hear God's word. I'm going to be reading from 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, verses 12 through 18. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 3, beginning with verse 12. "Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His word. Amen. You may be seated. They did a survey of about 30,000 people who use one of the mainstream dating sites, the internet dating sites, and they discovered something. With those 30,000 people, they discovered that they're all richer, taller, skinnier, and more attractive than the rest of the population. They discovered that most of them were blonde. The women were blonde, and that a full 70% of the women and 67% of the men said that they had above average looks. So I just thought that'd be something that y'all might be interested in knowing and such. Because it seems that we all want to put our best face forward when we're trying to meet people or see somebody. You know, we want to put on a good face. And in fact, because we want to put on a good face, that's why in 2013, there were over 15 million cosmetic surgeries performed in the United States alone. 15 million. Now, that included all body parts, not just face, but there were a great number. And even they estimate that about a third of those were what we would consider reconstructive surgeries. That's still a big number. In fact, the rate of increase in cosmetic procedures between the year 2000 and 2013 is 104%. Seems like we all want to put on a good face. We want to have everybody think well of us, and we think that that's because we think that if they find us attractive, people will like us better. That if we come across a little bit better than what we know we are in our hearts, then maybe it's something that we need to consider, that we need to try to help correct, if at all possible. So what do we do? And the thing is that our scripture today talks about having a veiled face or an unveiled face. Is that in reality, we as God's people have unveiled faces. We have faces that are able to shine what's in our lives. In fact, really what the case is that what is in our hearts is usually what comes and shows up on our faces. Now, my wife says I don't have a poker face. And because she says she knows. You know, whenever I'm say something, she knows what's there. And that's kind of a sad thing. You know, sometimes you can't get away with stuff, but that's the way it is. But I am reminded of an old fellow that years ago went into one of those Western saloons, and he walked in there and he turned and looked over the table where some people were playing poker, and there was a dog there. And he kept looking and looking, and lo and behold, he saw that dog was playing poker. And he went over there and he talked to somebody that was looking. He said, "Is that dog playing poker?" And the guy said, "Yeah, yeah." He said, "But he's not very good." And he said, "He's not very good, but that's amazing." He says, "Yeah." He said, "Every time he gets a good hand, he wags his tail." You know? And that's the reality of us, is that when what we've got in our hearts will often show up on our faces. In the book written about 2001 called The Power of Story, they tell us that actors, when they want to study acting and such and how to act, is that they don't study anatomy. In other words, they don't study which muscles are used when you frown or what muscles are used when you smile or if you have anguish or hope, whatever it is. But instead, they study how to have those emotions in their hearts when they act. Because they said they knew that if they put those emotions in their hearts, that it would radiate to their faces. And that's what you and I need to understand as God's people, is that what's in our hearts often shows up on our faces. I am firmly convinced to this day, I have no statistics, no information whatsoever to prove this, but I am still firmly convinced to this day that that every church could grow by 10% if we could just teach our ushers to smile. You know, what does it mean when you walk into a church and no one's smiling? What does it mean when you walk into a place and nobody's happy about being there? And, you know, it's sort of like you walk into a church and they go, "Praise the Lord." You know, well, praise the Lord. And we need to respond with what's in our hearts, because that's what the struggle is. Because sometimes what we have in our hearts, we don't want to show up on our faces. Because not only does what we have in our hearts show up on our faces, what we have in our hearts will show up on the faces of other people. Charles Spurgeon was a great preacher of a century ago, or a little over a century ago. And he often taught his preachers. He'd get his preachers together and he'd teach them how to preach. And he told them this one time. He said, "You know, if you, when you preach about heaven," he said, "let your face glow with heaven's glories. Let your countenance be radiant as you speak of the glorious riches of heaven. But," he said, "when you speak about hell, just let your regular face show." And that's what we and I need to understand, is that what we do, what we have in our hearts, not only shows up on our faces, but it shows up on the faces of others. So what do we do about it? How do we respond? What do we need to do in order to be the face that God wants us to have in this world? Well, the first step, very simply, is to have Christ in there, isn't it? Because unless you have Christ in your heart to begin with, then you're fighting a losing battle. Is that there is nothing that you can place in there. You can listen to Tony Robbins tapes, you know, till the cows come home. But you're still not going to have the joy to show up on the radiance in your face. You can talk about all the good things. You can talk about how, you know, just pump yourself up. But the first and foremost thing that you need to do is to have Jesus in your heart. To surrender to Him and to let Him enter in. To invite Him in this day. The next thing you need to do is that you need to feed that. You need to feed His presence in your hearts. I don't know, but I can tell you this. Watching some of the things on TV today will not feed your heart. You can watch all the reality TV and it's sure not going to pick you up. You can watch The View all day long. And it's not going to make you feel better about yourself or about this world. You can watch news channels all around the clock, and I guarantee you it will depress you and it will show up on your face. But you need to be feeding your spirit those things of the Spirit. One of the things that I would recommend today, if you feel kind of down and kind of out of it and such, what I would recommend to you today is that you read the book of Philippians, Paul's letter to the church of Philippi, the Philippians. Read it through entirely this one day. It's a short book, and you can read it in one sitting and do that every day for the next couple of weeks. I guarantee your heart will start changing. And you will be picked up in God's Spirit, and your face will start shining with His joy. Because that's what Jesus has said all along. To have joy. He says, I've come that they might have my joy. He goes on and he says, I tell you these things so that my joy may be complete in you. He wants you to have a joyful heart because he knows that there's joy in your heart, that it will radiate out your face and others will see it. It's back in the early 1800s when they kind of had a gold rush up in Montana. And there were a group of prospectors that set out from Bannock, Montana. And they had a rough time. They hit sort of a lot of obstacles, and even some of their number died as they were going out, only to be captured by a tribe of Indians who treated them severely, stole their best horses, took a lot of their food, and then just sent them off and said, don't ever come back or we'll kill you. And so those prospectors sort of picked up and started moving back, going back. They were discouraged. They were downtrodden. And yet they just started sort of going along as best they could with the limping horses that they had. And till finally one night they camped by a stream. To let their horses rest and for them to kind of get some rest. And that day, it was late in the day, but one of the prospectors went down there and he found a rock and he said, this looks interesting. And he asked his friend for a hammer and he broke open the rock and lo and behold, there was some gold. And so they decided to stay the next day and pan for more gold. And they panned and they found a pretty good amount of gold for that day and time. And so they decided that they had really struck it rich. And so they decided they needed to go back into Banning and get the supplies that they needed. But they talked to each other and they said, we've got to keep this a secret. We've got to keep it a secret because if we don't, there'll be too many other people that will be out here. And so they swore this vow of secrecy, and they went back into Bannock, and they got their supplies, they restocked, they got some more horses, and lo and behold, they left town one morning, only to look behind them and see 300 men following them. Well, the first thing they thought of, they said, "Who told?" And they started questioning each other. "Did you tell? Did you tell?" "No, I didn't tell anyone." So they finally turned around and they went back and they said, "Who told you?" And one man spoke and he says, "No one. We just simply saw it on your faces." What do people see in your face? Do they see the joy, the love, the forgiveness the quartet is saying about? Do they see God's presence in your face? Because if they do, they'll want to follow you to find out where you got it. They'll want to follow you so that they might have it too. Because our world today is seeking something that the world cannot give, that only Christ can give. And that's His presence in their lives. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You. We thank You for Your love for us today. But more importantly, Lord, we're thankful for the grace in which we live. Forgive us, Father, that we have sought other things and to try to fill our heart, or that we have just not sought anything, much less You. Father, I just pray today that if there's anyone here that realizes that Christ has never resided in their hearts, that they would surrender to You today, that they would come and open their door to their heart to receive You. And Lord, I pray that for so many of us, we let the busyness of life and all the stuff of life sort of crowd out the time that we need to spend with You. But that we would start letting You feed our hearts so that Your glory might shine forth and that all the world might know how great is Your love. So we just thank You so much for this time in this place, for it is in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.
How great is Your faithfulness that You have shown to me. Your faithful presence never leaves. Your mercy is new each day. You never give up on me. Reaching Your hand out, rescue me.
Sing, how great is Your faithfulness.
How great is Your faithfulness that You have shown to me. Your faithful presence never leaves.
Mercy is new.
Your mercy is new each day. You never give up on me. Reaching Your hand out to rescue me. Faithful God, Your love is my song and I will sing. Faithful God, rescued life is my gift to you. Faithful God to me. You've made me holy. Now I am holy, yours. Your blood-stained hands are holding me. I rest in the glory of your risen life. Your risen life now shines through me.
Thank you for his faithfulness this morning.
Faithful God, your love is my song and I will sing. Faithful God to me. Faithful God, my rescued life is my gift to you. Faithful God to me.
You are faithful.
You are faithful. You are faithful. You are faithful. You are faithful. You are faithful. You are faithful. You are faithful.
We are going to have our lunch in this that away. right after we dismiss, and also as soon as we kind of see that everybody's kind of wrapping up eating, we'll come back in here for our charge conference meeting. George, would you give us a blessing for our meal and a benediction?
Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for your love for us and for this time that we have gathered. We pray your blessing to be upon our meal this afternoon, our fellowship, and but most of all, Lord, we're thankful for your love that shines forth in our hearts and in our lives. For it is in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.
Faithful God, your love is my song and I will sing. Faithful God to me. Faithful God, my rescued life is my gift to you. Faithful God.